So what we'll do, we're going to speak with Chad Rezima from Mohawk. It's in between races right now, so that's great news. And Chad's joining us from Mohawk. Chad, thanks very much for your time on a busy Monday night over there in Canada.
Yeah, good morning to you, Greg. Happy to be part of the show.
Chad, really exciting time for you guys over there at Mohawk. And, of course, looking forward to what should be a fantastic Saturday night program for you.
Yeah, I mean, jam-packed with those rich finals. And then, you know, of course, we tossed in a horse like Lazarus, you know, for the Canadian Pacing Derby. And I mean, you know all about the buzz and the hype. And, you know, they got to look at it and who's your first. But we get it here in Canada now. And everybody seems to be talking about it. So we love it anytime we can get, you know, excitement surrounding our races.
Obviously, he's well-known down here, Lazarus, and what he's done down here. He was very good at Hoosier Park. He's come up with a great draw in Barrier 2. But tell us a little bit about some of the other runners that have that he's going to compete against in the Canadian Pacing Derby.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll start with his next-door neighbor, who I think probably poses his biggest challenge, and that's Mick Wickett. He was the fast-closing third at Lazarus in Hoosier Park, and, you know, Lazarus was wrapped up, so, you know, let's not get, you know, too excited that Mick Wickett was maybe going to, you know, have a shot at him. I don't think he was, but he's been arguably the top older pacer in North America this year, and Mick Wickett, you know, just at age 7, still going very, very strong. But, I mean, this race, I think it's going to be wild. I mean, you have got legit speed from horses like Rock and Ron from 4, Filibuster, Hanover in 5, Nirvana Steelster, a local horse. He's going to be flying out of the from post 7, and even Dr. J. Hanover, our track record holder, he's got the 9-hole. I can't see a scenario where he doesn't blast, you know, to try and get involved.
So, obviously, we saw a lot of early speed from Lazarus at Hoosier Park, but by the sounds of it, there might be a little bit more speed from out wider earlier in the Canadian Derby on the weekend.
Yeah, and I think with that other speed and with him down on the inside, you know, although the inside's okay, you know, it should keep him out of trouble early on as far as being parked and whatnot. I think he's, you know, Gingras going to have no choice but to kind of settle away early on. Maybe he gets away into the top 4, top 5, top 6, and then make a move down the backstretch. And we saw the powerful strides on that guy at Hoosier Park. And I think, you know, it settles, lets the dust, you know, kind of settle. Everybody get their position and blast in the backstretch. It could be over.
What's the record there at Mohawk?
Well, the stakes record is 147-2, and I think that is certainly within reach as long as Mother Nature cooperates here on Saturday night, because this track should be lightning fast as long as, again, you know, we get some sunny weather. It's supposed to be a hot week. Track record established by Dr. J. Hanover, who's in here, 146-4. I'm not sure that's, you know, going to be within reach right now for any of these guys, even Lazarus. And I think more so that I'm not sure somebody's going to be able to put those early fractions up for him to chase. But I think a 47-2 stakes record is in danger.
Okay. And what about the Maple Leaf Trot? What do you make of that field?
Well, that one is very deep as well this year. I mean, we certainly don't have a standout. You know, this is a race that it's been won by girls over 2 of the last 3 years. Defending champ Hannelore Hanover is in here and maybe off of her game a little bit right now, but you just can't discount her to rebound. Ariana G from post 4, she was sharp in victory in the elimination on the weekend. And I think with the right setup, she's going to be a factor. Marion Marauder, you know, he just goes about his business. I mean, he just got such a nose for the wire. And, you know, those are just three main ones. He tossed in the likes of a Dancer Hall, the Lone Supplement from post 2, kind of like Lazarus, the Lone Supplement in the Canadian Pacing Derby. He's got the 2-hole. Dancer Hall's a, you know, local horse that has done really well, and even the 5 will take charge. So I think both races, you know, even though it was the Canadian Pacing Derby, we're figuring on it being kind of a one-horse show when it's all said and done. The Maple Leaf Trot seems to be absolutely wide open.
Chad, I know you've got a special 30-minute a show on the Canadian Pacing Derby coming out of Mohawk on a Saturday night, don't you?
Yeah, and you guys are fortunately going to be carrying that through Sky, and it's going to be great. Jason Porwando, my colleague, he's going to be you know, big part of that show, dedicated local time, 9:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's dedicated strictly to the Canadian Pacing Derby, and there will also be a feature. You know, that they've been working on the Wonder from Down Under, Lazarus. So, you know, fans, fans down under like you, you guys will be able to get a great look at him, and it should be a lot of fun, and hopefully I can get to be a little piece of that show as well.
Beautiful, Chad. Thanks very much for joining me. All the best of luck with the coverage on the weekend, and thanks for taking some time out of your busy broadcast schedule during a busy night over there at Mohawk.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Greg, and enjoy the races on the weekend.
Thank you very much, mate. There he is, Chad Rozema from Mohawk, who has joined us during the night. And, of course, you can tune in now and watch the races on Sky out of Mohawk as they continue on a Monday night program. But some great insight into the races, and you'll see those feature races that Chad has had a chat about on Sunday morning our time. And Lazarus is expected to race somewhere between 12:30 and 12:50 in the afternoon on Sunday. So that's the news about Lazarus going into Sunday morning our time, or Sunday afternoon it's going to be, 12:30 to 12:50, around that time on Sunday. Yannick Gingra is the man who will sit behind Lazarus. He hasn't driven him, of course, since Hoosier Park. He hasn't raced since then. And great news is that Yannick's given us some time this morning to have a chat about that, and also the Maple Leaf Trot. And he's joining us on the show. Morning, Yannick.
Yeah, good morning. Well, evening here, but good morning, guys.
Yeah, mate, thanks very much for joining us. You must be looking forward to the weekend, getting back to Mohawk. It's going to be a fantastic meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, two of probably the best horse I drive, or two of the best that I drive. So it's definitely exciting, and looking forward to Saturday night. No doubt about it.
Well, firstly, the Canadian Pacing Derby. Is it fair to say that the race is tougher than the Dan Patch was, and it's going to be harder for Lazarus?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's any harder, or like, you know, it's a 10 horse field, but similar horses really in it, you know, the Burks horses, you know, Rock and Run, All Bets Off, were in at Hoosier Park. The Mech Wicked was there too. You know, so I think it's a similar field of horses, and I'm very confident going in.
He was able to muster a lot of speed in the early stages at Hoosier Park, and he was able to work his way forward. And you said to me in that paddock interview that, you know, there's no going back anymore. He's got to be driven a different way in America. Similar sort of tactics, you think?
Well, you know, yes and no. You know, obviously, that day there was definitely no taking him back, because post nine, you know what I mean, he was not going to get away last in that field of horses and win the race, you know. So we definitely had to go forward. I mean, I don't have nothing against maybe if we can somehow work a second over, or even come first over with him if the fractions are off up front. I mean, I'm not against that. I think the horse loves to chase horses down, and it's definitely not something that I'm ruling out. You know, that day, with the post the barrier that we had, you know, the strategy was definitely we couldn't take back. You know, we just had to go forward and see what happened. So, you know, this is a new race, and there'll be a different strategy.
Okay. The main danger, is it still Mech Wicked? He was the main danger at Hoosier Park. Is he the hardest to beat again on the weekend?
Yeah, probably. You know, I think Mech Wicked is definitely, I think, the horse to beat. But, you know, split the house. He raced really good at Hoosier. He actually surprised me. I thought he raced really game, and now he has post one. And obviously, like I mentioned already, Burke stable have three in there. They're three really nice horses. So it's definitely five or six horses I think could win the race given with the right trip. But I think I do agree with you. I think Mech Wicked is the one, you know, that I have to keep my eyes closer to.
What about the Maple Leaf Trot? What do you make of Hannelore Hanover? Is she going as well as she can? We saw how good she was at Breeders' Crown Time last year. What do you make of her at the moment?
She's definitely not herself. You know, the last 3 weeks, I think she wasn't as good as with the Hannelore we've seen in the past. But, you know, last week she was really sound. You know, that way I thought she was great. And I the way she felt warming up, I thought she put a big performance. But a couple little things that are bugging her. I talked to Ron Burke about it. He thinks he's going to have her in a better shape for Saturday. So looking forward to race her as well. Obviously, you know, she's not the horse to beat maybe now. So, you know, it makes it a little easier not to have the monkey on your back.
So what happens in a situation like that? You, had you committed to drive Hannelore right through? Like, was there a situation where, you know, Ariana G came out and won an elimination? Could you have jumped off if you'd wanted to, or had you committed to drive Hannelore right through?
I was definitely committed to race Hannelore through this race. No, that's for sure. You know, I mean, like, it's not something that I would do. You know, it wouldn't be fair to David Miller either. You know, he qualified her for the final, and he deserves to race her in the final. So that's the right thing to do. As far as, you know, we'll see how it goes. I still really believe in my mare. I think she needs to bounce back. But I've seen her before. Like last year after she won in 49 in Lexington, the next week she went to Indiana and got beat in a sire stake, just in the Indiana bred horses, you know. So it's not like she's never been out before, but she always bounced back and come back and kick their butt, you know. So hopefully she does it again. And like I said, I definitely have not lost faith in her.
All right. Under the right conditions, back to Lazarus, under the right conditions at a track like the Red Mile, what sort of time do you think he could go? If everything went right,
you know, it definitely has a speed. There's no doubt there. You know, I mean, like I mentioned before, I mean, a couple different interviews, I think he's a horse that's very laid back and he'll do what he has to do. You know, and I don't think he's the one that's going to show off. You know what I mean? So if he needs to kind of have somebody to, it's going to have to push him. You know, how fast he can go. I mean, he went 48 fairly easy at the Madeline and Indiana. And so there's no doubt in my mind he's got a 47 fairly easy. You know, I think he can maybe do that on his own. If he's going to go in the 46 range, then I think he's going to have somebody that's going to push him along.
All right. Well, mate, all the best of luck in Canada on the weekend, and good luck with that. And hopefully we see him back in the States pretty soon and winning more races again.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
There he is, Yannick Gingras, the man that will drive the Wonder from Down Under. On Sunday morning, our time, somewhere between 12:30 and 12:50. And, of course, he'll drive Hannelore Hanover in the Maple Leaf Trot from Barrier 7. Of course, he had the big decision to make. He drove Ariana G last year. He drove Hannelore Hanover as well. Hannelore Hanover, she took everything. She was the horse of the year. He drove Ariana G through all the fillies races last year. She was the three-year-old trotting filly. And he opted to go with Hannelore Hanover, but she's just off the boil at the moment. And he opted to go with Hannelore Hanover through this. Well, basically, they've clashed on a couple of occasions now, and he's opted to go with Hannelore Hanover. And Ariana G beat her in the elimination on the weekend. And Hannelore is drawn in Barrier 7. Ariana G has drawn in Barrier 4. Dexter Dunn, he opened his 2008 North American winning account on the weekend when two-year-old filly Ma Was Right won race 5 at the Red Mile on Saturday night. Dex is joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, mate. Well done.
Yeah, morning, Hazy. Thank you very much, bud.
Mate, the Down Under connection of Daly and Dunn strikes in the $30,000 size stakes event. Nice way for you to get things going.
Yeah, it was, Hazy, and it was pretty good of Noel to put me up there and lovely trotter. So, that was probably an easy job for me. She did all the hard work, but it was good to pick up a win here.
Mate, you beat home Jimmy Tactor, who'd had a pretty good night up to that stage. Does winning a race like that at the Red Mile, that's obviously got to that's got to be good going forward, and obviously get your name out in front of the people and helps you get more drives?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess being a stakes race, I'm guessing more people probably look at the stakes races than the overnighters over here. So it was good to get that win in a stakes race and beat Jimmy. Beat me all night. I pulled up and said, let me win one. So, since I've been here, though, I've been getting unbelievable support from a lot of trainers. Obviously, Chris and the crew are doing a massive job for me, and that's Norman supported me really well, too. So, the Down Under team gave me a good kick along. I've been here a week and a half, mate, so I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah, you mentioned Chris. He is looking over you over there, and you knew it wasn't going to be easy. You go from being that big fish in the small pond to a small one in a big ocean. The time was right for a new challenge for you?
Yeah, it was. It was probably one of the things I was looking forward to before I was coming over here was the you know, one, a change, and, you know, two, obviously, a new challenge in my career. So, you know, yeah, definitely knew it wasn't going to be easy, but without the support from Chris and, you know, obviously a couple of the trainers there that have been here, nothing will be happening. So, really grateful and pretty lucky. They put on some pretty nice horses so far. So, and, yeah, no, just trying to run along and hopefully get the best results we can.
So how long do you give it before you make the decision? Obviously, New Zealand Cup Week is, you know, I've seen an interview over there and you've said if you're still in America by Breeders' Crown Week, then that basically means, you know, you're not coming home for Cup Week. And how long will you give it until you say, yeah, I'm staying, or whether you're coming home?
I'll probably have to make the call sort of, you know, early to mid-October, Hazy, if I'm coming back for Cup Week. I mean, you know, the horses that we're racing in the feature races there will be well and truly cranked up and racing by then. So, you know, I've just got a little bit more time up my sleeve to over here to work out what's going on. So there's obviously still some pretty good racing left to go leading up to the Breeders' Crown in November. So Joe Nice to you for Chris. The Red Mile last night too, run second in the stakes race, he went good. So, yeah, it's just one of those things, mate. Just waiting to see, and I guess there'll be no decisions getting made any time soon, but it's going to have to, you know, come a stage, obviously early October, they'll have to make a decision. And whether it's to stay or go home, I'm not too sure yet, mate, but I'm enjoying the change and the new challenge over here at the moment anyway.
How many days a week are you driving?
Seems to be a lot. Yeah, I think, you know, the first week and a half has been pretty hectic, really, so which has been good. And then this week, I think I'm Tuesday through Saturday, and I don't think Sunday's fields are out yet. So, you know, it's pretty busy. It's pretty full-on over here, and there's meets basically every day to go to if you can get some drives. So, it's, yeah, it's probably a little bit different from home of racing every day here, but I'm enjoying it.
And what about doing form? Has that been tough?
It has been. I was probably pretty lucky. I've spent a bit of time over here. You know, I knew how to read their form, you know, the way they print their lines out, as they call it. But you're still obviously not knowing a lot of the horses and sort of just going on word from the trainers and other drivers, and then obviously, you know, their form on paper. So, yeah, I was getting used to it. Definitely probably the first couple of weeks getting sort of settled into the tracks I was driving at, like Chester and stuff. So, yeah, that's definitely been a change, but it's been a good change I've enjoyed so far.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for making time for us. You going to be driving on the on Saturday night, or you'll be watching Lazarus up there at Mohawk?
I'm actually be at Yonkers. I've picked up a drive on one of the trotters in the Yonkers trot there. So yeah, pretty lucky to pick that up. He just got a phone call about an hour ago, so think it's going 500,000. So I'll be watching from the screen at Yonkers, but, yeah, pretty lucky to be driving there in that race.
All right, mate. Well, we'll keep an eye on you at Yonkers on Sunday morning, our time as well. So all the best of luck with that. And we've now got a couple of Kiwis to watch over there in North America. All the best of luck.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Hazy.
There he is, Dexter Dunn. He's over there kicking goals and doing a fantastic job. He's a great export for the country, and he's got about 5 or 6 weeks before he makes a decision on whether he stays or whether he comes back. Reading with interest that he had issues with his visa, but in the end he's over there now. But it's an open end. Well, he's got a 3-year visa, so if he wants to stay, he can. There's no reason that he's got to come back to New Zealand if he wants. If things turned out, he doesn't have to rush back. Here's a man whose brother has made a career out of driving in America, and Todd McCarthy, a man who picked up another premiership on Saturday night. Todd McCarthy picked up the Sydney Metro Premiership. He went into the final night of the year in Sydney with a share of the lead with Lauren Tritton. His other brother, Luke, was one behind. And when Luke won the first, it was all square, the three of them. But in the end, Toddy was able to pick up the premiership and drove extremely well. It's a real credit to Todd because he obviously spent a chunk of the season away. He spent some time in Europe, spent some time driving maritime in Sweden, and then had a little bit of a break and a bit of a holiday. But he was still able to win the season. Not only does he win the Metro Premiership, he also wins the State Premiership too. So well done to him. Todd, good morning.
Hey, Hazy.
Mate, congratulations on both premierships. Another feather in your cap.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's been a terrific season.
Mate, going into Saturday night, what did you think? You had a fair book of drives, but you've always got to get the job done.
Yeah, I had a good book going in and some good trainers too with them, so I sort of thought I was a bit of a sneaky chance, but then Luke and Lauren had some good drives too, so we all sort of thought it would come down to the wire, and I was lucky enough to pull it off.
And then I guess when Todd started so well with when Luke started so well and picked up that first win, and you were all square, it was it made the night more exciting.
Yeah, Luke come back after the first race. I said it's game on now. We're all level. It's all good to go.
Mate, what about the year for you? It's you obviously took a fair time away when you went to Europe and had that break. Probably important because it gives you a chance to recharge the batteries, and you obviously spend a lot of time doing form and travelling to tracks and driving, and it's obviously important for you to have a refresh and get ready to drive and be at your best. But it's allowed you to come back bigger and better and keep driving winners. So it was a well planned holiday.
Yeah, no, it was. It's good to get away, and you get so busy throughout the season, you can get a bit wrapped up in it. But it's good to have a little freshen up from sometimes. And I think you're always eager to come back, and especially a trip like that to Sweden, the opportunity I was awarded there was unreal. And I think a trip like that really matures you and it benefits your career.
Is that something you'll do again in terms of a break in the upcoming season?
I think so. Just depending on how things work out time-wise and when I can get away and see what's coming on in the new season and where I'll be.
Yeah. What about Tiger Tara? What have you made of his two runs back? I thought his first run back, it was a pretty tough run. What did you make of him on the weekend?
Yeah, he's come back really well, I think. He's probably still racing into a bit of fitness. And Saturday night was we were probably pretty hard done. Sort of, we had to park out in that fast mile. And I was really hoping they were going to slow off a little more that second quarter. And they just sort of kept rolling a bit up front. So we sort of had to do a bit more work than we wanted to. But he wasn't beaten far, and I think a run like that will tighten him up. And hopefully he's better for it again this week.
Just caught up with Dexter Dunn. Listening to Dexter taking the plunge and heading off overseas, and obviously the success your brother's had, it took him a while to break in over there. Does it make you think about heading off overseas, or are you happy with the position you've got here in Sydney?
At the moment, I'm very happy here in Sydney. I wouldn't dream of leaving what I've sort of got going here. I'm really enjoying it here, and I love the racing here, and I've got a really good connection with a lot of trainers here that I really enjoy working with.
Okay, so you're more than happy with basically how the setup's going. Have you been following how Maori Time's been going overseas after your Swedish trip?
Yeah, I have been. Unfortunately, she hasn't had the best sort of trip over there as of yet, but I'm not sure what her plans are for her as of now, but I'd really like to see things pick up for her. I think she's a good mare, and they haven't seen the best of her there yet.
Yeah, for sure. Well, mate, congratulations. Just wanted to get you on and congratulate you on what has been a tremendous season for you, picking up both premierships. And is that the first time you've picked up both in the one season?
I think I'd done it not last season, but the season before maybe, both premierships. But it's always nice just to win one anyway.
Oh, mate, congratulations. Well done.
No, thanks very much, Hazy.
There he is, Todd McCarthy, the man who picked up, went into that final season at, or that final race meeting of the season, the Metropolitan meeting of the season, tied with Lauren, and one in front of his brother Luke, and was able to get the job done. But it sure made it quite interesting coming into that final meeting at Menangle. And it was interesting because we had the Breeders' Challenge meeting, the Breeders' Crown meeting at Melton. And that, of course, took a lot of the interest on Saturday night. And then the Menangle meeting, and that was the interest there. So that gave us some interest in that. This young bloke, he probably thought halfway through the season, I've given away my chance to maybe drive a Breeders' Crown winner when he sold She's All Rock. But he didn't. Young Mark Pitt, what a week, what a weekend it was for him. Couple of stunning drives, driving for Emma Stewart. He drove, firstly, Hurricane Harley in the two-year-old Colts and Geldings Breeders' Crown Final. That was an absolute ripper. He had to make a couple of moves in the race and then ducked in for a little bit of a breather on the back of Centenario. But his drive on Ride High was an absolute ripper. In the coverage on Saturday night on Sky Racing, straight after the race, I said a 12 out of 10. Jason Bonington, who worked with me, came straight over the top of me and said, don't worry about a 12 out of 10. It was a 26 out of 10. He made an aggressive move at the start, and it was a really good race move, and it won him the race. And Mark Pitt's joining me on the show. Morning, Mark. Congratulations with your Saturday night.
Thanks, Greg.
Mate, do you go in with preconceived plans in big races, or do you just let it all happen in front of you?
Oh, you know, we went in with a couple of little plans, but as you know, it changes out there pretty quickly.
Firstly, let's talk about Hurricane Harley. You made a couple of moves in the race, but he got shuffled back mid-race, and were you further back than you wanted to be?
Yeah, well, I was actually, sort of hoping to be one on one of the more favourable runners, but we got pushed back a little bit, and that second move, I sort of, you know, it was a 50-50 move at the time, whether to take it or not, and it was a right move.
And then coming to the turn, you got the opportunity to just duck in onto the back of Centenario for probably 80 or 90 metres and just give him that little bit of a breather, and that probably helped him and just gave him the chance to catch his breath for one or two seconds?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was probably, you know, one of the winning moves as well, dropping in for a little breather because they were really, really going hard around that bend, and you know, that helped him big time, dropping in for a little breather.
Yeah, 27.2, 27.5. It's just unbelievable. Two cracking two-year-olds, Hurricane Harley and Centenario. Now, what about that move of Ride High? That was something very special. You went forward from the second row draw and then powered on. Did you think you were going to get a fight from Grant Dixon? He talked tough during the week. And then when you got around there and got the lead, were you surprised how easily you were able to roll to the front?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, actually. You know, the main aim was stay in front of the big guns at the start. And, you know, it is hard to win from the second line, but he's an exceptional horse, that horse.
He could be anything, do you think?
Yeah, I think he could be. Every time he's gone out, he's got better and, you know, from the size run to the British Crown run, he's improved a lot.
And when you got to the bell with a lap to go, were you just giggling? Did you think this race is just about all over?
Oh, you know, it was sort of a little bit like that, but I know how good poster boy and Ignatius are. You know, it was cracking race, and, you know, to be able to find the front so easy and you know, get a pretty good trip, it helped big time.
He blasted home in 25.7. That was something very sensational. And then to cap your night off, Carla's Pixel, she did something that, she doesn't normally do. You were pretty aggressive on her and she found the top, and she was racing inferior mares, and there was a little bit of a salute after that. That I think meant a bit to you?
Yeah, no, it did mean a lot to me. I've driven that mare a fair bit, and, you know, she has been racing some top class horses, and it was probably just a fraction down in grade, but she did have to do a fair share of work through the run, and you know, she proved too strong for him.
Yeah, mate, three wins on a Breeders' Crown program. I know you've won some big races in your career, but is that a career highlight?
Yeah, for sure, it has to be. You know, I've always wanted to, you know, to be the driver group one winner on British Crown Day, and that planned out, and I actually got three on the big day, which was super.
And in the back of your mind, after selling She's All Rock, is it, you know, that I guess there would be regret there, but you know, you obviously want her to go on and be good, and see her hit the heights that she can reach. But then to come out and do what you did on Breeders' Crown Night is so special.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, there is little regrets, but you know, as you know, horses are horses, and we, you know, sell them for and hope to see that they do well, and to be able to come out of a night like that and just drive three winners is amazing. You know, great achievement throughout the career that I've had.
Well, mate, congratulations. Well done on a fantastic night. Of course, Emma and Clayton all part of it as well, and Dean Braun too. So well done on a really well-achieved Saturday night at Breeders' Crown Night.
Beautiful. Thanks, Hazy. Appreciate it.
There he is, Mark Pitt, star of the show. He, along with Chris Alford and Clayton and Emma. Mark Purden had a big night as well, but Mark Pitt, fantastic drive on Saturday evening at Melton. Cozzy, that wraps up another big edition of On The Pace. I will hand it back to you and be back next Tuesday for another edition of On The Pace.